Baltimore grabbed the world's attention this spring when the death of Freddie Gray sparked an outpouring of emotion. Anger at the police, outrage over the state of the city's neighborhoods, and frustration that nothing ever changes. Out of all that has emerged a perhaps unexpected voice.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning.
Dr. Lena Wen is Baltimore's 32-year-old health commissioner. She's energized, confident, and truly convinced that public health isn't just about inspecting restaurants or telling people to wash their hands to prevent the flu. Dr. Wen is among those who believe that public health can make a big difference in Baltimore, treating what most would consider problems for police, drugs, and street violence. So in order to put that theory to the test, we're spending time with her, not just at press conferences and public meetings, but in the moments between.
Hi, Andrea. It's Lena. This is a little bit strange for me.
Andrea Hsu is our producer, and this is Lena Wen's audio diary. We asked her to record her thoughts and to talk about how things are going. And one of her first shares was about the pace of the job, how quickly things unfold.
I'm used to fast-paced environments. I'm an ER doctor. I'm trained to work in environments that are high intensity, high stress, but nothing has quite prepared me exactly for this role because of just how unpredictable things are.
Our story today looks at what happens when one of the department's flagship initiatives, a violence prevention program called Safe Streets, runs into trouble.
I am recording this on the night of July 14th, and it's been a long and challenging day.
It wasn't supposed to be that way. The day before, she'd unveiled with great fanfare a 10-point plan for fighting the city's heroin epidemic. That morning, Dr. Wen headed to a TV station to talk about it.
And while I was waiting for the interview to start, I received a call from a senior leader within the police department saying that there was something urgent.
What she would eventually learn was that two Safe Streets workers had been arrested. Inside one of their neighborhood offices, police found guns, drugs, and materials used in the sale of drugs, cutting agents and scales. It was a serious setback, as she made clear in her audio diary.
This was disappointing and certainly not the news that we were hoping for.
Let's take a moment to explain Safe Streets. The program hires ex-offenders, often newly released from prison, to go out in the streets and stop violence. They're called violence interrupters. They talk drug dealers out of fights and convince gangbangers not to retaliate. They don't snitch to the police. They don't carry weapons. They are of that world, but not part of it. That's how it's supposed to work. Dr. Wen says, of course, there are risks.
But everything has risks. I mean, in my work as an ER doctor, there's no procedure that I can recommend, no medication that I can recommend that doesn't come with a risk.
And research shows Safe Streets does deliver. Last year, the health department says the program mediated 880 conflicts in Baltimore. Until recently, a couple of the sites hadn't seen a fatal shooting in more than a year. And now, this stumble.
Well, several Safe Street employees are now behind bars after police raid turns up guns and drugs stashed in the East Baltimore facility.
News reports about the raid feature Dr. Wen at police headquarters speaking to the press. She's flanked by officers and federal agents. And instead of doing what she'd hoped to do this summer, announce the opening of a new Safe Street site, perhaps in Freddie Gray's neighborhood, Dr. Wen announces she's shutting down the raided site temporarily while they figure out what went wrong.
We stand united with the police department and our partners in reducing violence in the city and making Baltimore safe and healthy.
Now, her words had been carefully chosen. She had strongly defended the program, but there's a hitch. She soon learns from her deputy, Olivia Farrow, that the Safe Streets staff were not happy. Here's what she told us when we saw her later that week.
I actually felt really badly about it because what she said was that we, for lack of better words, messed up on the messaging.
Part of the problem was the image.
People were upset to see me standing with the police in the first place. And then to use the terminology of we're partnering with the police, because the entire point of Safe Streets is that they're separate from the police and that in the mediation for conflicts, there has to be total trust. And we have potentially interfered with that relationship by standing with the police.
So Lena Wen sets about trying to fix things. She calls a meeting with the Safe Street site directors, and she brings in a guy from the Chicago program that was the model for Safe Streets. Brent Decker trained the Baltimore staff and swaps hugs with them as they walk in.
Well, I might as well just get my apartment back here in Baltimore.
Might as well.
They gather around the table, the Safe Streets workers in bright orange, their signature color, and talk about what went wrong and what they can do differently. More counseling, deeper background checks?
Do you do auditing on a regular basis, too?
We do background checks every month.
Delano Johnson says, how about trying to get beat cops on board with what they're doing?
And I have heard officers say, programming ain't nothing but this, it ain't nothing but that, the hard this, hard that. We got to get to these officers at roll call, Dr. Nguyen, if you could come, and anybody, let's go and talk to them and let them know what's happening.
Dr. Nguyen is taking notes. But she's got something else on her mind, something she'd spoken to us about a few days earlier.
Initially, when I was meeting with Safe Streets, I said, what is the one thing that you think we should be helping you to address? What is the one type of support we can help you with? And I thought they were going to say, you know, trauma, debriefing, mental health support. They said child support. And I thought, child support? How am I supposed to? First of all, why am I helping you with child support? But how am I helping you? And I didn't quite follow up on it and didn't understand it.
Until now, at this meeting, when she asked the Safe Streets team to explain the problem.
You know, I want to understand it. So
it looks like this. Most of these guys, they never had jobs before. Most of them come do this work. They over 30. Most of them have children.
This is Dante Barksdale. He explains when these guys get out of prison, they might owe upwards of $50,000 in child support. Now, some of them used to walk around with $20,000 or $30,000 in their pockets every day, drug money. But then they get the Safe Streets job, and it pays $28,000 a year. Now, they're all right with that. It's a job, after all. But in just a couple of months, they go from being proud to discouraged.
Let's just take Taz and East, for instance.
That's one of the guys who was just arrested.
When he first got the job, his mother was living with her sister. He got the job, they found a house. Rent was about $900. He was paying the rent. It's about 60 days later, he come to me and said, man, child support, and came and took all my money. His check went from probably $800 every 2 weeks to about $100-something. His mother got put out of the house. He was homeless. And he was having all these kind of issues, and I was watching him. He was going crazy, but it was really nothing I could do for him. Because he doesn't possess the skills to really work anywhere else.
He has problems reading and writing, Barksdale says.
But he was really good at doing mediation. So we see that a lot, and that translates through, like, all the sites.
Dedra Lane, who oversees the program for the health department, proposes talking with the Bureau of Child Support Enforcement.
If they don't know that we're faced with this issue, they can't do anything. So we should at least be having the conversation about, are there any options to consider? Are there any things that we can put in place that would support the staff as they move through their first employment opportunities and still have families to manage?
And yes, they are getting further and further away from what you might think of as public health. What started as a conversation about preventing violence has now wandered into the realm of child support law. But Dr. Nguyen pushes on.
Have there been, around the country, efforts to do different types of salary arrangements to bypass a child support problem? An example might be, instead of paying child support directly, because I don't know how one exactly does that, but have there been experiments to see what happens if we pay for housing?
Heads nod around the table. They don't know if it'll work, but the sense is, hey, it's worth looking into. Now, no one here would argue that child support isn't important. The guys we've been discussing, in a different story, we might be calling them deadbeat dads. But what do you do when your deadbeat dad is someone who voluntarily puts himself in dangerous situations every day for the good of the neighborhood, wedging himself between people who literally want to kill each other? What do you do when your deadbeat dad represents your hope for the city, if only he can stay on track? These are the questions that Lena Nguyen is wrestling with, and like so many other questions in Baltimore, there are no easy answers. And we'll be following up with Dr. Nguyen and her team in the coming months. If you missed our first piece in the series, you can find it at our website, npr.org.